Governor, Dr. Alexander Scott, and Director Smiley. We can take your follow-up questions.
The conference is now in talk mode.
We can take your questions.
Hi, Governor.
Hi, Dr. Alexander Scott. Brian Crandall from Channel 10. Just following up, I know we did a story on a nursing home in Providence, Berkshire Place. It's a big jump in cases. Can you just explain why, you know, this is still happening? Some people may have thought the outbreak at nursing home started quite a while ago. You know, what's being done to contain it there, and is the strike team there?
Yes, it is a situation, again, where we have a medically and physically fragile population living close together. And with all of the effort that we have in place, these are still unfortunate situations that are happening. Seems perhaps fewer, but we know that the risk is going to be there. In terms of our response, it includes a comprehensive approach that involves aggressive testing of all of the residents and staff, direct engagement on the infection control practices that are needed with cohorting residents, assigning staff, limiting the staff per resident that engage, and helping to make sure that they have the personal protective equipment that's needed to be able to care for the residents. Each team response is unique to what's needed for the particular congregate care setting.
Okay, and sorry, do you know how many of the newly reported deaths were at nursing homes?
9 of the 12 fatalities lived in congregate living settings.
Thank you.
Welcome.
On the new hospitalizations, do you have the numbers for Monday and Tuesday? The data that went out this morning stopped at Sunday.
For current hospitalizations?
No, for new hospital admissions.
Let's go to the next question, and I'll get it for you while you keep going.
Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Alexander Scott. I'm wondering if you agree with Rhode Island Hospital and the statement that came out that the surge is over, and if so, which criteria are you using to make that, or would you use to make that statement?
We are not able to say that anything is over at this point. You know, the governor talked about data plateauing. We do have a two-day data lag so that we can verify the hospitalized data and information as it's coming out, and we want to make sure that we are careful in assessing because so much depends on that. So each day is day-to-day, and I would not conclude as of yet that the peak is over, but certainly can remain hopeful about that. In terms of new admissions to the hospital, from April 27th, it was 5, and from April 28th, it was 2, and these numbers are still provisional and being verified, so maybe updated as well.
5 and 2, you said?
Yes.
Thank you.
How many nursing homes have applied for the PayBoost loan program, forgivable loan program? This is Michael Billow from Motif.
Michael, it's Brett Smiley. We can get that back to you. I don't have that number in front of me.
All right, thanks.
Hello, this is Nick Papadia from ABC6 News. If we do move forward to phase one on May 8th, are you in discussions with Governor Baker in Massachusetts about how that will impact his state and how his continued stay-at-home advisory will impact Rhode Island?
Yes. This is the governor. We are in touch with them. In fact, at this point, my chief of staff and Commerce Secretary and Director of Health talk to his chief of staff, Commerce Secretary, and Director of Health like every other day. So, yeah, short answer. You know, I think it's likely that we will, I hope, be able to start going back to work before Massachusetts. It, you know, our data would suggest that we're in a little bit better shape and we can do that. They're aware of that in Massachusetts. And it was never the case that we all wanted to go back on the same date, but we do want to be coordinated. So we're talking a lot around the travel policy. We haven't yet aligned on that, but I do want to align our travel policies with Massachusetts and Connecticut, talking a lot about like testing that we're going to provide. The question Jim Hummel asked around, you know, whether the state's going to be able to provide any PPE to our businesses. You know, these are the kinds of things we're trying to get aligned with Massachusetts around.
Thank you.
Governor, this is Ryan Belmar. I was wondering if you could provide any guidance for hotels. Getting a lot of questions about hotels, don't know when they should or can open reservations. Obviously, it has to be after the 14-day quarantine period. They're wondering what phase they fall into or what month or date, or if you can give them any insight of when they can open reservations.
Yeah, we haven't decided yet. We know it's not going to be in phase one, and we're trying to figure out under what conditions they can safely reopen in phase two.
Thank you.
Governor, it's Bill Bartholomew. What about the Block Island Ferry or Block Island? Are there any specific plans in that department as far as number of people on the ferry or some of the events that are still scheduled out there?
To be honest, I hadn't thought about the ferry until you just mentioned it. But whatever rules we have would, you know, would apply to the ferry the same way it would any other, you know, to anything else. Look, any of the big festivals and such, I don't know if there are any, they would obviously have to be canceled. One thing that I am highly concerned about, and I don't have an answer yet, but I do want to say it out loud to flag it as a high level of concern for me. There are many seasonal businesses who rely on summer staffing from young students from other countries, and they typically put them in, you know, communal living type arrangements. And I know that happens a lot on Block Island. It happens a lot in Newport. By the way, in a normal year, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. That's exactly the kind of thing that could get us into big trouble. So we're all over that and hoping to make guidance very soon to summer, seasonal hotels and restaurants and such, because that's seriously problematic if we don't do it right.
Governor, Ted Yankee here. I can't tell you how devastated people sound about your announcements today. It seems to hit people really hard, just the reality of the what you think summer is going to look like. Is there, not to give people false hope, but I just have to ask you, could you imagine potentially revisiting these if, you know, if the data suddenly perks up in the next month or two in a way that's not currently expected?
Absolutely. However, I don't want to be dishonest. For example, we were just sitting here thinking, I wonder if there's a way that the Bristol 4th of July parade could continue so it doesn't have to stop its running streak in a very, 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 very scaled back version. So I always am going to revisit, update, err on the side of letting things happen. And hopefully, this is my whole mantra from the beginning, like plan for the worst, work for the best. But I also know, you know, people like Jay Sweet, who run the Newport Folk Festival, there's no way that an event with tens of thousands of people all squished together on a lawn is going to be allowed to happen in July. And he's running a business. And so, you know, he and people like him need some guidance. So, you know, if you're planning on running a huge concert with thousands of people in July, I can't honestly look you in the eye and say you're going to be able to do that. So you should probably go call your vendors and such and start making...
Want me to help out there?
But yes, Ted. Very long-winded way to say yes. I mean, I want to have a good summer as much as possible, and we'll be back, okay? You know, as we go.
Can you please put your phone on mute if you're not speaking?
Yeah, could you hear that, Seth?
Sorry. I think so, but nobody seems to learn the mute button thing. But, yeah, so you're getting the big ones you just had to give because you can't suddenly turn on the Newport Jazz Festival overnight in July.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think they get tens of thousands of people. That's not safe to allow tens of thousands of people on the lawn at Fort Adams in July. But we're going to work really hard to have more limited festivals, limited parades. And sure, if things look better than we think, absolutely, we'll reopen.
Governor Raimondo, Ryan Belmore here. I speak from experience when I ask this question. I end up canceling my wedding based on your guidance. And calling our wedding vendors, many of them don't have the money to do any refunds. Is there any additional support coming for the wedding or event industry?
I'm really sorry to hear that. When are we supposed to get married?
June 27th at Fort Adams in Newport.
Hmm. Yes. I don't know exactly how we're going to do it, but there has to be. We have to figure out some way to use some of our stimulus money to help the tourism industry, because the hospitality industry is just getting crushed. And that, you know, that's what I was trying to say. Maybe I wasn't too clear with the stimulus. Like, my goal is to use as much of the stimulus as possible to help with the economy, you know, within the rules that Treasury provides. And I feel like the tourism industry is a direct casualty of the virus. So I'm definitely going to be looking for ways to do that. We talk like every day with the Hospitality Association, so we're trying to figure it out.
Governor, it's Ian Donis. I apologize if you were asked about this earlier and I came in late, so I might have missed it, but what is the empirical basis for deciding that there cannot be large events even in July? What are you seeing in the numbers that indicates that would not be safe at this point?
Well, we know about large gatherings and how that contributes to transmission of the virus. And a key approach to doing the business of reopening the economy for Rhode Island is to take it in phases. And so based on what the governor laid out on Monday in terms of moving from phase one to two and three, the timing shows that it is likely that at the most we will be to phase three, which we are recommending a gathering size of only 50 or fewer at that point. To be able to set the expectation, it is most helpful for the governor to make that clear now. And then we will continue to follow the data as we go to see if that needs to get pushed back, or if numbers go in a way that show we can accelerate the process.
So I'll give you my take on it, Ian, and the doctor might kick me under the table. I don't think there is a hard and fast science around 50 people or fewer, 60 people or fewer, you know, 10 people or fewer. But what I know is closing this economy has been horrible, and I never want to do it again. And so, and every public health expert tells me that crowds are the big problem. And anytime you put, you know, more than 100 people together, it's almost impossible to enforce social distancing. I want the kids to go back to school in September. I want restaurants to be back in business. So I guess I just feel like it's better to be safe than sorry for some of these big, big venues.
We have about a minute left. Governor, this is Kim Kalunian. As Ted said earlier, I think folks are feeling pretty bummed about what summer is going to look like. And I know you were planning to offer some further guidance on parks and beaches. Any glimmer of hope you can offer to the people of Rhode Island that they might be able to hold on to some semblance of summertime when it gets warmer?
Yeah. So on Friday, I'm going to be talking about parks and beaches, and I think it will be a very hopeful message. We're going to have a fun summer. I'll say that on the record. We're going to have a fun summer. We are going to find ways to be together, have fun, go to the beach, enjoy summer, do all that stuff. We're going to make it happen. You know, assuming the numbers keep looking as good as they do, It's just that, like I already said to Ted or whoever, you know, the Bristol Parade draws 100,000 people. The Folk Festival draws tens of thousands of people. The Dominican Festival in Providence in the summer draws thousands and thousands of people. That's the kind of stuff where we just can't do it. But we're gonna do everything we can to allow some of the smaller events to happen and to get creative.
Thanks. Governor, I was at the protest outside of the State House on Saturday covering it. I had a horrible experience there. It was a really, actually, unnerving experience. And there were, you know, not more than 200, but there were a lot of people there, not social distancing. There was no effort that I could see to break it up. What does that say about other events that people might attempt to pull off in a renegade type of fashion this summer?
That's an interesting comment, Bill. I am sorry to hear that that happened. It says that we're going to have to do a better job with enforcement. I don't want to speak for Colonel Manny, and you could ask him. My hunch is that he was probably not inclined to cause any kind of a altercation, so maybe he governed with a bit more leniency than he would with a otherwise happy event in the summertime. But we have been enforcing social distancing. I mean, we've gone into businesses to enforce social distancing. We've gone to parks to enforce social distancing. I know some of the local police, like in Pawtucket and Providence, the local cops are doing an awesome job enforcing social distancing on basketball courts and such. So we're going to do what we need to do.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow.